You're listening to 88.3
Southern FM.
Now, on the space show, we're going to turn back time.
If I could turn back time, if I could find a way, baby, if I could turn back time, if I could find a way, if I could turn back time, if I could turn back time.
On the space show, we're going to turn back time to 1966, March, in fact, March the 16th. And last week, we told you of the plans for Gemini 8, a two-manned spacecraft, with Dave Scott as a pilot. Dave Scott as the EVA person, and Neil Armstrong as the commander. And we told them of the plan. Dave Scott spoke to the Voice of America about his role, as expected, on the mission.
We maneuver with a handheld maneuvering unit, and we sort of float or soar. We push for a long tether or hold on to handrails, which you might consider hand-over-hand walking. We have basically five major pieces of equipment. One of which is the chest pack, which contains an emergency oxygen supply and a cooling system. Another is a backpack, which contains a normal oxygen supply and propellant for the handheld maneuvering unit, which I would consider our third piece of equipment, and it's very similar to the one that Ed White used.
Meanwhile, 60 years ago, two astronauts were touring Australia and New Zealand.
Meanwhile, astronauts from previous Gemini flights were making news on the other side of the world. Correspondent Edward Conley reports from Australia. Astronauts Walter Schirra and Frank Borman dropped in on Australia this week to say hello in person to the many people who have guided them and cheered them on their space flights. In Perth, Adelaide, and Melbourne, the Space Rendezvous pilots were treated to warm welcomes. At the Australian space tracking stations at Carnarvon and Woomera, scientists and technicians got first-hand reports on the space flights they guided from the men.
A detailed report on the New Zealand part of the tour is on the Space Show website, including photographs. That's at space.southernfm.com.au. Then look for the precursor audio link. Well, things were ready for the launch. And so this week we'll follow the mission, which, a spoiler alert, very nearly turned out to be a fatal mission. It was launched on 1966, March the 16th, 60 years ago next week. Ahead of the launch, this report from the NZBC.
Meanwhile, at Cape Kennedy, America's Gemini 8 spacecraft is being prepared for launching early Wednesday morning, New Zealand time. The flight will help determine if there is any life form in outer space. During a 2.5-hour period outside the spacecraft, Major Scott will put a sterile patch on the nose of an unmanned Agena target rocket with which Gemini 8 plans to rendezvous. The idea is that any microorganisms will be trapped on the patch. The Agena will continue to orbit the Earth until another rendezvous by Gemini 10 later this year, when an attempt will be made to retrieve the patch.
Then came a postponement.
The news read by Peter Sinclair. The rendezvous and spacewalk flight of the Gemini 8 astronauts has been postponed for 24 hours until Thursday in New Zealand time. The cause is leaks discovered in an Atlas rocket and in a spacesuit circuit of the craft. The National Aeronautics and Space Administration at Cape Kennedy says the trouble was discovered during checks before the final countdown. The rocket is to launch an Agena satellite into space as a target for the astronauts to chase and rendezvous with. Technicians are expected to have all faults corrected in time for the deferred launching at 3 o'clock on Thursday morning, New Zealand time.
Next day, the Atlas Agena D launched followed by the Gemini Titan.
2, 1, 0. We have ignition. A big button in the yellow liftoff. Blast off.
3 seconds.
It's lifting off from India. Here across the band comes the roar of those tremendous engines.
Roll program in the engine. 20.
As the two spacecraft approached each other, the Voice of America began a live broadcast commentary.
This is the Voice of America broadcasting from Washington with live coverage of the Gemini 8 space rendezvous.
And this is Rhett Turner in Houston, Texas, along with Ed Hickey to bring you a description of the rendezvous maneuvers which are about to begin in 10 minutes from now, the terminal phase of the rendezvous of the spacecraft Gemini 8 with its Agena target vehicle now orbiting nearby. This will take place during the next 30 or 40 minutes, and within the hour, within about 1 hour from now, the Gemini 8 spacecraft should have rendezvoused and docked or connected with the Agena in orbit. This is a vital maneuver necessary for future lunar orbital missions to help man get to the moon and back. We'll have more later. Now, back to Washington.
The Gemini 8 spacecraft is 4 hours and 50 minutes in flight, beginning its fourth revolution. It will be passing over Ecuador, Peru, and Brazil in the next 10 minutes, and then at 5 hours in flight, heading out over the South Atlantic Ocean. From the Manned Spacecraft Center in Houston, Texas, and from the Gemini News Center here in Washington, the Voice of America is bringing you live coverage of the flight of Gemini 8. Today, a rendezvous and docking or connecting up with an Agena rocket.
Now, Neil Armstrong flew Gemini 8 ever closer to the Agena rocket, then flew beside it. Some 6.5 hours after liftoff came the news that we had been waiting for.
Roger, stand by to call the
decision. City docked?
Nothing to be in that dock yet. Okay, Gemini 8, we have gear on the ground. Go ahead and dock. Okay, we have a rigid light, getting stopped rigid now. Okay, Gemini 8, it looks good here from the ground. We're showing tone rigid. Everything looks good from the dock.
With the mission progressing successfully, the Voice of America ended its broadcast.
And that concludes this portion of our coverage of GT 8. The docking is successful. This is Frank X. Titus.
In New Zealand, the NZBC reported the success.
Here is the news read by Hewitt Humphrey. Just before 10 minutes past 11 this morning, two American astronauts piloted their Gemini 8 capsule into the first space link-up ever achieved by man. It marked a vital step towards a landing on the moon. And what the astronaut Neil Armstrong described as like threading a needle in space, he slid the nose of Gemini 8 into a docking collar on an unmanned Agena satellite, using small thruster rockets for the maneuver. Armstrong reported it was a real smoothie. Both the Agena and Gemini 8 were put into closely matching orbits about 100 minutes apart early this morning. Thruster units were used for the final adjustments. And when Gemini was 25 miles from its target, the astronauts again applied power to make a rendezvous. The two vehicles will now remain locked in space for a number of orbits. Soon after midnight, New Zealand time tonight, the astronaut David Scott will leave Gemini 8 and expose a sterile patch on the outside of the Agena. It will be left exposed while the Agena continues in orbit after Gemini 8 returns to Earth. Later this year, another Gemini mission will inspect the plate to see if it picks up any traces of microscopic life in space. Scott will remain outside Gemini for about 2.5 hours.
Soon after that report, the Voice of America went live with the news that Gemini 8 was tumbling in space and would be making an emergency landing. I missed the beginning of this unscheduled broadcast.
Well, 3 feet high, it is a good copy. And all the other astronauts have confirmed that the Gemini spacecraft may be a wonderful spaceship, but it's not a very good boat.
Perhaps we can bring in our colleague John Hammersmith of NASA at this point for any comments he might have of where do we stand now with the landing sequence, the rectifier sequence, of course, the rocket. have been fired some minutes ago.
Yes, they're waiting now until they drop down into this area to a suitable altitude where they can begin to guide their spacecraft.
And I believe Rhett said this is about 20 minutes from retro fire time, and that's about 10 more minutes to go before they can begin to do it.
Yeah. I had one other thing here, too, I thought was interesting to mention. In looking at the map, you can determine why this particular path was chosen for reentry within the time schedule allowed. The retro rockets were fired while the spacecraft was in voice contact with tracking stations, in this case, Kano, Nigeria. And it will be out of touch with tracking stations until it hits the very crucial atmosphere reentry point, and by then, hopefully, according to Mr. Haney, as he told us too, should be within contact of the Coastal Century Quebec tracking ship east of Okinawa and south of Japan also.
A question, if I may, here, Brett, to John Hammersmith. The spacecraft, once it hits the water, of course, still has a radio transmitter, does it not? But it probably has a very little resistance.
Yes, this is what has, I think, advanced there at the root of some of the communication problems we've had in our primary area, even. They're communicating fine with the aircraft that are overhead, but we back here in the States who are starving for some good news don't hear a thing. 88.3
Southern FM. Where you're listening to the Space Show. And we're looking back 60 years to the nearly disastrous flight of Gemini 8. Well, the Voice of America continued its coverage for the next few hours. At times, shortwave reception was poor. So poor, in fact, I can't inflict it on you, dear listener. Then, the news that Gemini 8 had splashed down.
Rescue 1, which is a C-54, has the spacecraft in sight. It is overhead, and the destroyer Mason right now is approximately 90 miles from that point.
Obviously, the C-54 is in communication with the Mission Control Center, or at least they are.
Now, how one advises they have the spacecraft in sight, and it has splashed down. It's on the water.
And I bet a big cheer goes up in Mission Control Center if
I just heard it. I just heard it.
Shall we? They're safely on the water. The spacecraft has returned to Earth. Astronauts Armstrong and Scott have successfully cleared the atmosphere over Africa and Asia and splashed down in the Pacific, just south of Japan and east of Okinawa. They're in sight of one of the rescue aircraft, and we assume that this will be the one containing pararescue divers and parachutists to assist them safely.
With reception from the Voice of America rapidly deteriorating, I returned to the NZBC.
Here is the news, read by Bill Toft. Gemini 8's aborted flight into space ended 10 minutes ago. The capsule had developed a fault soon after it completed a successful docking maneuver with an Agena capsule this morning. The trouble arose in Gemini's main thruster rocket. The capsule was ordered to make an emergency return to Earth, and astronauts Neil Armstrong and David Scott have landed in the Pacific near Okinawa. Planes are overhead, and Gemini 8 is reported to be riding safely in the sea. An American destroyer is heading to the spot to recover them. But it will take several hours to reach the splashdown area, and the astronauts will probably be in the water at least 3 hours before they're picked up. The sea is relatively calm, and conditions are perfect. A military transport aircraft has flown from Japan to the scene, and other planes with pararescue men are on their way. Associated Press says the remote area was chosen as the best landing zone available. At the time the trouble developed, Gemini 8 was traveling over areas where large contingents of recovery forces were not available. United Press says this is by far the greatest emergency ever to be encountered by an American spacecraft in flight. The early termination of the flight deprived Scott of his planned walk around the world in space, which he was to begin tomorrow morning. But soon after 11 o'clock this morning, the astronauts achieved the main purpose of the mission when Armstrong slid the nose of Gemini 8 into a docking collar on the unmanned Agena. This was a vital step toward a landing on the moon. It's not known whether the trouble began in the Agena rocket or in the Gemini spacecraft itself, but it is known that one thruster in the spacecraft stuck in the on position, and suddenly the two joined spacecraft began to tumble. Armstrong decided to back the Gemini away.
On medium wave, the ABC, the Australian Broadcasting Commission, punched through an electrical storm over the Tasman. This is how I recorded it in New Zealand.
After a successful link-up operation, an anxious waiting period, and a safe splashdown and rescue with the astronauts aboard ship on their way to Okinawa.
Gemini 8 is safely down in the Pacific. Astronauts Armstrong and Scott are being taken to Okinawa. This only a few hours before Scott should have been setting the record for a walk in space. A disappointment and a serious one, but not the disaster it looked like being at one time during the night. At 11:30 yesterday evening, I was able to report the first ever docking, linking up of two vehicles in space. Everything concerned with this Gemini 8 shot and its Agena target vehicle had gone precisely according to plan. It was so perfect that we all thought it was almost dull. Then, an hour later, television networks across the country suddenly broke into their programs to announce a crisis. Gemini and Agena, linked together 185 miles above the Earth, had developed an uncontrollable roll as much as 36 degrees per second. Emergency measures were used. The vehicles separated. Gemini's re-entry thrusters were fired to correct the fault, quickly traced to a jammed valve in one of the spaceship's main thrusters. But moments later came the expected order, in line with the primary rule of the American space effort, that the safety of the astronauts come first. The flight was to be terminated. It was already dark in the main Atlantic recovery area. A spot in the Pacific was chosen instead, still daylight there, and with space agency ships and aircraft in fairly easy reach. But not the constant communications to which all concerned have become accustomed. We did hear a voice from space report that all four retro rockets had fired according to plan. Then nothing. Nothing for more than half an hour. Still, this message came through from Mission Control at Houston.
NZBC carried this report from a reporter in the United States.
Attention to the Gemini 8 spaceflight progress during the day. They heard in the news that astronauts Armstrong and Scott had succeeded in docking their capsule with the unmanned Agena target vehicle and only just settled down to watch or listen to their favorite programs, when suddenly radio and television broadcasts were interrupted with bulletins that trouble had developed. Command pilot Armstrong reported violent gyrations and difficulty in controlling his spacecraft. He managed to dislodge the capsule from the Agena target vehicle. A little later, he regained some measure of stability. Gemini Control at the Space Center in Houston, Texas, announced tersely that it had ordered the mission ended.
there was to be an emergency splashdown way out from the primary rescue areas, some 500 miles east of Okinawa. Millions of Americans sat glued to their sets. Bit by bit, information was released. A successful landing depended on many factors. The weather conditions were fortunately favorable. There were rescue planes in the splashdown vicinity. Ships in the area were alerted. But the first cheers came when Armstrong reported from space to the Space Center in Houston that his retro rockets had fired properly. Tension slackened a little, but the worry was not over until the by now well-known voice from Houston announced,
"Gemini Control, Houston here. We've just had a report relayed through Hawaii that the swimmers in the water have been in voice contact with the crew. The crew reports all aboard is fine. I say again, the crew reports their condition is okay."
But right up to this moment, space officials do not know what caused the trouble. Reports from Houston indicate that there was near panic at the Space Center at one point. A reporter overheard an official say, "We may lose the whole ball of wax." But later, officials were silent. And for the first time, a tape-recorded conversation with the Gemini crew was withheld from the press. It therefore appears that whatever the trouble was, it was quite serious.
Peter Schroeder reported from New York.
And of course, there were congratulatory messages, including one from New Zealand.
The New Zealand Prime Minister has sent a message to President Johnson expressing the country's congratulations on the historic docking of two vehicles in space. Mr. Holyoake said the visit this week of astronauts Schirrer and Borman gave New Zealanders all the more reason to hail the outstanding success of the mission.
And both Neil Armstrong and Dave Scott, as you've heard, landed safely, and they both went on to walk on the moon. That's Dave Scott and Neil Armstrong. And, of course, if you ask some young people who was the first astronaut, they often answer, "Neil Armstrong," when they'd be totally wrong.